In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Glory to God in the highest. May his name be praised in our midst. May the name of Jesus be praised in our midst. May he pour out his Holy Spirit upon us today, that we who are here today listening would experience the presence of God. You know, you are the light of the world. And you know, where it is most dark, that light shines even brighter. I think of being outside the abortion mill. We have brothers and sisters who are there offering life, love, and help. And hundreds of women have been spared of abortion, and hundreds of children. They are the light of the world, these people outside the abortion mills, because it is a dark, dark place. And yet they give up their time, and they are often ridiculed, and they do it for the sake and name of Jesus. Do you want to be ridiculed? Then go in front of an abortion mill. You say, I don't want to be ridiculed. Jesus said that persecution was what he promises. He doesn't promise arthritis. He promises persecution. And if you want persecution, you go in front of the abortion mills, and you'll see people saying to you, get a job. And it's like being at the gates of hell, honestly. But you know what? If our people, who are the light of the world, were not there, then no choice would be made but the choice of abortion. And we don't raise our voices. We don't sing loud. We are there just to help women and to help women who are pregnant. And as a matter of fact, last week, I believe 2 children were saved. I do not know about this week. Hundreds and hundreds of children have been saved because people who are the light of the world have stood in front of Planned Parenthood. Let me also tell you this. St. Paul said, shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation, that you shine like a star. Let me tell you, you know, the star doesn't have to try to shine, you know. The star doesn't have to try to shine. By its very nature, it shines. And St. Paul says that we who have Christ living in us should shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation. I am very, very aware that Jesus calls us to be the light of the world. For if the church is not the light of the world, the world has no light. If the church is not the salt of the earth, the church will just rot. I tell you, we are called to be the light of the world because do you not know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that Jesus Christ dwells within you? Do you not know that the Lord himself is Lord indeed, and that he wants to use you personally? We have people that are making hats and people that are making blankets, and we give them to the women going in. It kind of makes it real that what you're going in to do is, this is a baby, this is a baby hat, and this is for your little boy that you're going to have. And I tell you, everyone doesn't change their mind, but we've had so many that do change their mind. Because we are out there giving help, hope, and love. Do you understand that? And that's the message of Paul, to shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation. I'm looking at the 8th chapter of Luke, and we look and talk about Jesus' relatives. Then came to him his mother, that's Mary, and his brethren, that's his brothers and sisters, his cousins, and could not come to him for the press. In other words, there were so many people that they couldn't get in to talk with him, or to touch him, or to give regards to him because of the press. People were pressing in. And it was told Jesus by a certain said, "Your mother and your brethren stand without desiring to see thee." They're desiring to see thee. They're standing outside, and they desire to see thee. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are those who hear the word of God and do it." Now, this is very interesting. Some people say that he's kind of throwing down the Blessed Virgin Mary. But let's look at this. Who is my mother and who are my brethren? Those who hear the word of God and do it. Our Blessed Mother in Nazareth heard the word of God. You shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. She heard the word of God, and she did it. She said, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." Then our Blessed Mother ran in caravan to Elizabeth's house. Yes, she heard the word of God, and she did it. In Bethlehem, she brought forth her firstborn and laid him in a manger. She heard the word of God, and she did it. She heard the word of God in Cana of Galilee, and she does it. They have no wine. And what does she say? Do whatever he tells you to do. So therefore, Mary is the spiritual mother of Jesus as well as the physical mother. She hears the word of God at Calvary. Calvary, beneath the cross of Jesus, stood his mother. She hears the word of God in the upper room. They were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Let me tell you this, that Mary's spiritual motherhood is ahead of her physical motherhood. That's what Jesus is saying. And Mary hears the word of God and does it. And you know what Elizabeth said? "You are blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." You are blessed among women. Yes, you are blessed among women. Blessed Virgin Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So who are the true relatives of Jesus? Those who hear the word of God and who do it. Do you do the word of God? God called me to preach at 11:30. I heard the word of God, and I'm doing it by the grace of God, by the grace of the living God. I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do today. Maybe I'm not doing it as good as I could, but I'm doing it the best that I can. That God called me to proclaim the word of God. I knew when I was ordained a deacon that I would be on radio. I knew that. I didn't know how it would happen, but I knew that was the reality of it all. And the way it happened is, I'll tell you, I had been selling cassettes, and I had about $10,000 or $12,000 in the bank, which was not mine because that was the Lord's money. I didn't use it for myself. And I went to WEZE and asked if I could get on the radio, and they gave me the 11:15 program, which I'm still on. So let me tell you, I never thought that I'd be on for 30 years, but in January, it'll be 30 years that I've been proclaiming the word of God. People hearing me in prison, people hearing me at home, people hearing me in the car. And you know what? God has chosen someone not the best. I tell you, I'm not the best, but the weakest to do his work. And God shines through me because he dwells in me. I am to shine like a star in this crooked and perverse generation. And if you can say anything about this generation, it's crooked and perverse. It's crooked and perverse. You can't look at a magazine without selling sex. They're not selling deodorant. They're selling sex. We live in a crooked and perverse generation. We have people on the computer that are looking at things they shouldn't be looking at. But you know what? We live in a crooked and perverse generation. At least at one time, if you were to look at pornography, you'd have to go into the store and buy it and maybe be a little ashamed. Now, in your own room, in your own house, you can click on whatever you want to click on. I tell you, the computer is not of God many times. It can be of God when we use it the right way. But I'm saying when we use it wrongly, it is used by the devil himself. Maybe you're one of the people that took clicking on pornography. Get on your knees every day after you get to confession and ask the Lord to keep you from it. Ask the Lord to make it easy for you, that you don't go that way anymore, because it is disgusting. And another way is that you can think of these women, if you're looking at women, as your sister or your mother. Would you like your sister or your mother to be doing this? Never mind these strangers. Put your sister's face there or your mother's face there. And you know what? You come up with, I don't want this at all. This is not good. This is evil. These women and these men are brothers and sisters, mothers, sons and daughters of somebody. Please, 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 if you want to break this hold on yourself, get on your knees in the morning and ask the Lord to keep you pure. Get on the knees in the evening to thank Him that He kept you pure. Simple, but who's going to do it? Blessed is the man who not only hears the word of God, but does it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Now it came to pass on a certain day, verse 22, that Jesus went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. The other side of the lake. It wasn't very far. But as a result of the winds, when we're at Lake Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee, we have winds blowing from the desert and from the mountains. We have winds blowing, and there can be storms in a minute. I know, because we were caught in a storm like that. A beautiful day when we went out of Galilee, to the Sea of Galilee, to go to Capernaum. It was a beautiful day, but you know what? Those winds started to blow, and our ship got started to toss, just like the ship that Jesus was in with the disciples. I knew that it had to do with climate, but as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. Isn't that something? Our Lord is tired, so he falls asleep on the ship, on the boat. He falls asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and the boat was being filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy. What do they do? And they came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And when he arose, Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Oh, do you not know that when it's hurricane season, that we have the power to command that hurricane not to hit us and to go out to sea and not bother anybody? Do we not know that we have power over the elements? Do we not know that? I tell you, just like Jesus has power over the elements, we have power, especially when we go together with people. When people say, we're going to have a great, great, great hurricane. It's going to be so great, this hurricane. And you say, yeah. What are you going to do about it? In the name of Jesus, Hurricane Peter, get out of here. Go out to sea. Turn, turn, turn. Do not hit the land. Turn, turn, turn. We have power over the elements. And what does Jesus say that when they woke him up? There was a calm. And Jesus said to them, Where is your faith? You see, they had to wake Jesus up. They could have done it themselves. Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered what kind of manner of man is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Yes, the winds and the water obey him. I never forget when I was in the seminary, I was going to a class outside of St. John's Seminary, and it was very interesting because three young men were trying to start the car that they were going in. And I walked by, and I felt the Lord say, you know, go back and tell them you want to pray over the car. And I'm thinking, these guys are all jocks, and I'm going to talk about prayer. But I turned around, and I did it. Blessed is the one who hears the word of God and does it. So what happened is I went up to the people, and I said, what's wrong? They said, the battery won't, the starter won't turn over. I said, can I pray? And they looked at me like I was out of my mind. I said, can I pray? They said, go ahead, pray. I said, Lord Jesus Christ, start this car for them. So I walked away. And when they turned on the ignition, the car started. They were amazed. They were amazed. They said, what kind of a man is this? I'm going to tell you, a weak man who has the presence of God within him. Because do you not know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? I have nothing apart from God. I have nothing apart from Jesus. I have absolutely nothing. You know, I can only proclaim the word of God. And I ask the Lord to give me the grace not only to proclaim it, but to do it. You know, do it, do it, do it. And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. Maybe he says that to us today. Oh, you of little faith. Today I was looking at mustard seeds, and they are so small. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou moved, and it will be moved. Let me also tell you this. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? I tell you, those people outside the abortion mills, they have faith because they believe that life is precious. Life is precious. It's primordial. It's the roots of things. And they have faith. They go out there with their faith. And maybe their faith wavers sometime because nothing seems to happen. But God always comes through. We have babies that are now 9, 10, 11 years old, that beautiful children that were scheduled to be killed at the abortion mill. These people outside the abortion mill have faith. The people who are making hats have faith. The people who are making blankets have faith. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Are you teaching CCD? Are you doing something for God? Well, you can't do something for God unless he first does something for you. You can't do something for God unless he first does something for you. And I tell you, he wants to completely give you a motor job in your heart. He wants to take the stony heart out of your body and put in a heart of flesh. Oh, Jesus, would you do that? Take the stony hearts out of our bodies and put in a heart of flesh so that when we hear the word of God, we will do it. When we hear the word of God, we will do it. And it's very, very important. And, you know, we become mothers and brothers and sisters of Jesus when we hear the word of God and do it. It's spiritual kinship is above physical kinship. Mary, of all people, heard the word of God and did it. Until the end, neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Also, at the place of Pentecost, they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is against and over Galilee. It's, yeah, you can see the Gadarenes from the shore of Galilee. And they went to the Gadarenes. And when he went forth to land there, he met a certain man who had demons. And the demons were with him for a long time. And he was naked. He wore no clothes. Neither did he abide in any house. He didn't live in a house, but he lived in the tombs. When the demons and the man saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? You are the Son of God. You are the Son of the Most High. I beseech you, torment me not. I tell you, the demons all recognize Jesus as their arch enemy. And Jesus is going to deliver this man. Going to deliver this man. I tell you, he doesn't need PR work from devils. That's why he tells them to shut up. He needs PR work from the children of God, telling people how wonderful Jesus is. When's the last time you told somebody how wonderful Jesus is? When's the last time you proclaimed the word of God to someone, telling them that Jesus had a plan for their life, that Jesus had a destiny for their life? When's the last time you witnessed to Jesus Christ? When is the last time? And that the person who does the word of God, not only who hears the word of God. So what happens? For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he would break the chains and fetters, and he was driven by the desert, by the devil, into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, not the man, but the demon, "Legion, because we are many devils that have entered into this man." And they besought Jesus that he would not command them to go into the deep, into the sea. And there was there a herd of many swine. So you can see that the Gadarenes was not Jewish, it was Gentile. It was part of the 10 cities, the Decapolis. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought Jesus that he would suffer them to enter into the herd of swine. And he suffered them to enter into them. When the devils went out of the man and entered into the swine, the herd ran violently down a steep place and walked, ran into the lake, and they were all choked. When they had fed them and saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and the country. People now are going to talk about Jesus. Oh, this man in the Gadarenes, and he lived in the tombs, and he was naked, and he would break the chains. But Jesus came, and he delivered the man. He was in his right mind. Jesus came. Mary Magdalene, another one that had demons, 7 demons. She was perfectly possessed. Jesus commanded the demons to leave Mary Magdalene, and she became holy. I tell you, my friends, Jesus has power over the devil. Jesus has power over the devil, and he's given us that same power. He's given us that same power. They also who saw it told them by what means that they was possessed of devils was healed. They went and told everybody that Jesus healed this man. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes besought Jesus to depart from them. They're scared because they've got their own demons. They besought Jesus to depart, for they saw Jesus and took him with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again to Galilee. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought Jesus that he might be with Jesus. He wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and show how great things the God has done for you." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city the great things that Jesus had done for him. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that when Jesus had returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. What are they waiting for? They're waiting to be healed. This is Dr. Jesus. He doesn't charge any money. The only thing he does is he lays hands upon the sick and they get better, or they lay hands upon his cloak and they get better. Let me just tell you, we need a revival of healing in the church, where people receive the body and blood of Christ and are healed tremendously. We need that priests would pray with people, that priests would pray with people for the healing of their bodies and the healing of their minds, for the healing of their souls. Priests are very, very comfortable in the confessional, and they should be. Outside the confessional, they're not very comfortable praying with the sick. Well, you know what? That's what we're called to do. I saw the lady this week who I met many years ago in Walmart. She says, I was going to take my nephew to see you. And I said, come Saturday, and on Saturday we'll pray for your nephew. That was like about 12 years ago. And every Saturday we pray for the sick after the 5:30 Mass. This woman was the instigator. I never would have done it if she hadn't said, we are going to take my nephew to you. Well, we prayed with the nephew over and over again, and he died. But at least we continued to pray. And we were all sad that he died. But you know what? We just leave it to God. We can't heal the sick. Only Jesus can. We've had many healings of cancer. We've had many healings of other things, of backs and legs and everything. Jesus wants there to be a revival of the healing message of the Lord. Healing message of the Lord. He sent his disciples to preach and to heal, not only to preach. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I do need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or www.inseason.net, and you can leave a message. You can leave some money on PayPal. www.inseason.net. May the Lord be praised both now and forever. May his name flood your heart, because it's the name above every name. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.